1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, fight.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C4.
And I'm
Koba. I played so much that game.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I haven't listened to the show in this long. You know this, I don't give a fuck.
Ludicrous Kill.
Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 124. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
And the website is hwhq.com. You can email us at c4.gameradio@gmail.com. You can join us on IRC at irc.oftc.net. The channel is Pound Gamer. And what a strange week it's been. We missed last week.
Mm-hmm.
I think I never posted it on the website, but I did mention in the show that we did 123 ahead that we were going to miss it, and I never put it on the site, so I think some people are kind of upset because they didn't listen to that 1 2-second section of the show there where we mentioned that, you know, towards the end even.
Probably should have put it on a headline or something.
Deal with it. So here we are with 124 a little bit later. We weren't even going to be able to make this one, but somehow, amazingly, we pulled it off. And here we are with a very, very bizarre week. The last 2 weeks, mm-hmm. I think. Like, next to no gaming got done at all. It's like, we kind of, like, I had seriously, like, one day of like one night where I played with what we're going to mainly talk about for about like 6 hours, and then today for like 2 hours. Then I played Quake 3 all week, and that was like it. I didn't even get a chance to play with my DS. So this should be a pretty interesting show, but I assure you it will be worth listening to because it was just bizarre enough, you know, to make an interesting story,
yeah,
I think.
There's some interesting stuff.
There definitely is. It's kind of like the show I never thought possible. I just didn't see it coming. And I almost wish that we had more time to kind of flesh out the topic, really. But we're just going to have to do with this because we just didn't get anything else done this week. But, you know, 4th of July weekend. I had 2 birthdays last month. I mean, you know, shit happens. I got a friend from out of town up here. I'm sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sound sick too, by the way.
Do I?
Well, you've been coughing a lot, and I'm just dreading recording because I'm like, oh my Christ, I'm going to have to stop it every 10 seconds and then edit like hell tomorrow.
I have allergies.
Oh, is that what you're? That's right.
I keep forgetting to take my allergy medication.
You suck. I keep hearing you coughing and sneezing. All right, well, let's get the run on the ball here with some email. Episode 123, this is... Oh, I got a real name. All right, well, we'll put his initials. BB was listening to episode 123, and I, the Tetris... God damn it, people. Proofread your stuff. Was listening to episode 123, and I, the Tetris game you guys mentioned, sounded like a knockoff of Tetranet. www.tetranet.org. Sorry if you guys already mentioned that. I was kind of drifting in and out, just thought I'd let you know. Oh, no, he does have a handle on here. His handle is Ragweed.
How is Tetris a knockoff of Tetranet?
Yeah, no shit. Have you actually ever played Tetranet?
Uh-uh.
It's pretty cool. I played it, like, God, it was, I mean, it had to be years ago. Years ago. And it's basically, it runs on your PC. I haven't been to the website even after since this to check this out yet to see if it, what else operating systems it runs on. But I played it before, and it's pretty cool. It's basically Tetris over the interweb. Okay, that's fine and dandy, but, like, this is Tetris over the interweb in a little handheld job with some cool music and not crappy graphics. And Tetranet's not pretty. It looks like most free 3D games or free games. You know what I mean? Just like functional.
Right.
You know, not the kind of thing that you would want to bring home to mom.
I'm still kind of like stuck on the whole knockoff thing.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, this is from Nintendo. This is Tetris.
They have the license for it, right? Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. But it's really cool on the DS. Like, I can't explain it enough. Like, I can go take a crap. Well, I guess you could if you had a laptop and a wireless card in the laptop. But I don't know. It's just, it's nice using that interface to a controller and try to take a dump with a laptop on your legs holding a controller. It just, it doesn't work. Get a DS. It's worth it. Speaking of which, the DS comes up in 2 emails, I think, here in the show. I think there's one more we have where it's not DS related. And don't worry. We're not going to do the show about the DS. Calm down, people. People are up in arms over 2 shows. of the damn DS. It's like, oh my god, it's going to be DS radio. Jesus Christ, it's over.
Like it was Final Fantasy radio.
You know, right, exactly. I don't know what the hell people's problems are. People must calm down. Woo-saw and shit, motherfuckers. Okay, if we do two shows in a row, it's probably because it's a hot... I hate these words together. Hot topic. You know, in the gaming world. You know, it's just, that's what's going on right now. You know, it's exciting. It's like, wow, the DS came out. Oh, but we should cover Counter-Strike instead, because that's what you want to hear about, right? To hell with that. I'm not sure if you've heard about this, but Phantasy Star Universe, this email is from Nightfall Gemini. The game is a sequel, not a rehash. Oh, we mentioned this before and then got all lost. On the old Phantasy Star Online games, the battle system is completely redone, and there's an actual story mode now, 40-hour storyline, instead of a sad excuse for a futuristic Diablo 2, and as always, there's the traditional online mode that we've all come to love. However, online characters are stored server-side, which will hopefully prevent hacking. I was going to say, because the one that they've all come to know and love is pretty bad. Lots of duping, you know?
Right.
It's like fucking Diablo. The game will use GameGuard for the PC version, and the PS2 version will download security updates to the PS2 memory card or hard drive, if you have the drive rigged that way. There was a closed beta in Japan a while back, and a player frapsed some vids and put them on YouTube. Here's a certain one that shows off some of the features. New battle system, first-person view mode, larger areas. Now, I've tried to watch this video, and YouTube is, like, having some kind of an issue. But the URL is tinyurl.com/QGCJW. That was, like, the worst letters you could possibly get together. Like, if it wasn't W and, like, it was, like, an R or something at the end, we'd be screwed, or an N. Okay, now, oh, what did I reprint the same one? What the hell? Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, sorry, Windows is retarded, and for some reason I can't pull up the print window anymore on Gmail, so I've got, like, the whole Gmail page printed out here. It cost me $12 to do this week's email. Ink is expensive.
Yeah, it is.
Frozen walkway with no subject. That's my favorite subject. Hey guys, listening to 123 and just wanted to comment on Grid Wars 2. My friend has a 360 controller and we tried to plug it in and use it with Grid Wars, and for some reason it's really fucked up. Like the shooting analog stick can only do one side to side or some shit, so he tries to configure it but it was just kind of retarded. I played this game all the time at school on a flash drive and I can kick ass with a keyboard and a mouse, but when you change to keyboard and mouse, the gameplay mechanic really changes. In Geometry Wars on the 360, you run around shooting people like head on, but in Grid Wars, if you use keyboard and mouse, you usually do strafing moves to kill everything. If you attack strategy chance... So you attack strategy changes a lot. But if you've never used the keyboard and mouse with WASD and the arrow keys to shoot, give it a try. So yeah, the keyboard and mouse on Grid Wars equal ownage. Oh, and you guys probably noticed the differences between Geometry Wars, like how the green boxes move a lot more on Geometry Wars than Grid Wars, and how the bullets actually act different and which way you move in Geometry Wars. Keep making shows. Guys, my ears are hooked on random dudes talking as background noise. I do the same thing.
I actually haven't gotten to play Geometry Wars. And I don't think
me neither. Yeah.
So I was actually unaware of what was different. Setting up the 360 controller is actually not that hard.
Well, the only reason I was actually able to do it was because you did it for me, and you had already worked out all the kinks. But it is a pain in the ass.
Well, it's a pain in the ass, but it took me like maybe 45 seconds to figure out. You just have to kind of cycle through the axis changes. What happened was the right analog stick does right and left. But the Z triggers, the shoulder triggers, do up and down or something.
Ugh.
You have to kind of like cycle through those until you figure out how to make a full circle.
We should take a screenshot of your working config. I obviously don't have mine anymore.
Oh, I don't either.
Oh. Oh, is that dropping one too many clues about what our show is going to be about? Seems like I feel like we're missing a guest this episode, and he's actually going to be. The sender inner of the...
It would be really nice to have him.
I know. It would have been fucking awesome. And I got to get my shit together, though. And hook up the wizardry that we need for the phones. Mm-hmm. That's what needs to happen. This is why... Oh, because we need to get Osmo and Aphex from Lag Radio on, too, to talk about non-MMOs, right? Because they play other games, but they don't talk about it on their, you know, MMO-based show, Lag right. Radio. That's lag-radio.com, not L-A-G-D-A-S-H-R-A-D. Fucking people are stupid. It's a hyphen. Lag-radio.com. Okay, this email is from Barbwire. 2DS or not 2DS? From Barbwire. Hey, C4 and Kobar. So you were getting me all erect. Whoa, wait a minute. I don't like the way this starts out. For a DS, but the question I have that will change it from a $200 Australian to a $0 option is how playable is it for lefties? I mean, how many games will require using the D-pad with my right hand because I am also using the stylus? I'm not going to go on about how these people are just fucking 10% of the population, but if you're bored one day, you should play my game and go into your local gaming store and ask them for the left-handed version of the DS Lite. Anyway, keep up the good work with the show, Barbed Wire.
Okay. On its own, the DS is not all that left-handed friendly. However, if you can kind of like train yourself to be okay holding a stylus in your right hand for the games that have to use the D-pad.
Yeah, it's not all that many, it doesn't seem like, you know?
It's not all that many, and it's very rare on the ones that it happens. Generally speaking, if the D-pad and the stylus are being used, you will have time to let go of the D-pad
right.
and use your left hand. The few times where you can't, it's not like you're having to write or anything.
Right. Some of the games that you do, like Brain Age, actually asks you if you're left or right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the idea being, because you hold the DS sideways, it flips upside down or whatever. So it's like, cool with that, you know? Like
right.
what I'm saying here? Okay, yeah. So, I mean, like that kind of thing works. A game like Trauma Center, 100% with the stylus.
You can
so,
use whichever hand you want.
Right. I mean, there's a few games, like I'm going to say, you would have to really kind of research it. Like I would say you probably have to stay away from games like maybe Metroid Prime Hunters.
Yeah.
You know?
There will be a handful of games that are just off limits to you. But they will be a small handful. I mean, most, either you're not touching the D-pad while you're using the stylus.
Right.
Or it's something simple that you might be able to like handle using your right hand for. Like Castlevania and those ice balls.
Right, that's exactly what was in my head.
You might be able to like just deal with holding it in your right hand to break up those ice balls.
Right, it's not like you're writing with it or anything. You don't need any kind of precision accuracy really a whole lot with it for something like that. Like you just need to like stick it on the screen and
now,
poke a block.
I understand
and put it away.
That if you were to try to hold the stylus with your left hand and start doing something, it feels weird.
Yeah.
But it's doable. And
right,
if you
yeah.
get away with it, 99% of the games are going to be okay.
I don't know about that many. I mean, like, how would you handle a game like Mario 64?
Without the little strap?
Right.
No one can.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Nintendo, you bastards.
And they played Mario 64 with the analog stick in the left hand anyway.
Oh, right. Yeah, I guess so, huh?
Yeah. You can't play that game without the little thumb thing. It's undoable.
They need to just package it with it since they stopped giving it out with a DS. They didn't even give us a little wrist strap thing, whatever right. that thing is called. They didn't give us one of those with a DS Lite. It's like they try to save a quarter. Pretty janky. So, yeah, I don't know. I actually asked some people about this that knew some left-handed people, and they said get over it. So I must not be that bad if you know.
I can't imagine most games being a problem.
Yeah, definitely not. No, because, right, they're either 100% on the, like you're using a regular controller anyway, no stylus anyway, and which you're used to, or a game like Trauma Center, you know, and then Kirby, mm-hmm. you're 100% with that damn stylus anyway, so it doesn't matter. So, I think you'll be okay.
Most of the games are one or the other.
Unfortunately, here it's a $200 investment down there in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
That's rough. So it's like, well, hey, have you tried going into the store and fooling around with one? I mean, like, I'm sure they'll have, like, one, like, I know here we've got stores where you can go in there and fuck around with it,
I thought you were asking me for a second.
No. I'm talking about, I threw the email away, Barbed Wire, I think his name was.
Yeah, go check it out.
My memory sucks. Yeah, Barbed Wire.
You know, I heard the PS3 is going to be $1,000 in Australia.
Holy Christ.
$1,008.
Nice knowing you, Sony, you cocks. All right, this is the Uber email, and thanks to my funky, because fucking Windows can suck my ass, I've got 3 pages here, but it's not that long. Really, it just formatted strange. This is from my hero and yours, Dan Washko from the Livingston Tech Show, about the Nintendo DS. And it's titled My DS Story. Now see, fuck, he needs to be on this episode too, and this is such a pisser. All right. My daughter gets a nice chunk of money for her birthday, and that Saturday we're wandering around Toys R Us so she can spend away. We invariably end up in the video game section, and she's eyeing the mini Game Boy Advance. It's all I can do to talk her out of buying one as I plead the case for the DS Lite, which is coming out in 1 week. This was, you know, back on a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
After much teeth gnashing and tears, we convince her to save her money. And I know how hard that is, because I used to be in the same boat. Earn a bit more with chores and a promise of a game to boot if she waits for the DS. American kids, no patience. Cut to a week later. In that time, I'm just hearing how much you guys love the DS, and Zayfan is always praising his, so I start dropping hints that this would make a great Father's Day present. It's Saturday, and I think it is the 11th, so I'm calling around to see if there's any DSs left, as I hear there is a shortage. Every store I call says they have limited quantities and that we should come in, plunk down a holding fee, to get one on Sunday, the actual 11th. The wife and daughter go off to Game Crazy to drop a deposit down, and after some more hint dropping, the wife agrees to get me a DS. Hooray! Good going, Dad. So the next day comes, and off to the store we go to get there when it opens. To my bewilderment, there is no line. But lo and behold, my daughter put a deposit down on the last one. I have to wait until the next shipment. So now I have to suffer watching her play Nintendogs for the next week. Of course, true to girly fashion, she gets the small dog pack. I don't understand the allure of this game. In fact, you know what? My girlfriend bought it yesterday.
Yeah.
So, and that, or was it yesterday? Yeah, that was yesterday. Yeah, that's, and of course she names it this fucking dog's name. So of course, Jasmine's freaking out as she's wandering around going, Jasmine, Jasmine, talking to the DS. I watched her shout the dog's, oh, look at how funny is this. I watched her shout the dog's name into the microphone for 3 hours that day because it kept forgetting. It like trained its name or something. Right. Finally, she euthanized the bitch and got a new one. This one had to be, had to be smarter, as a bit later she's blowing bubbles to the dog and talking baby talk. She even got the wife doing it. That's so cute. The next couple of days, I'm hitting some local stores to track down a copy of Dawn of Sorrow. I saw one at Toys R Us, but that's a bit of a hike. Still, no one has it. I stop in at another Game Crazy and ask when the next shipment is coming in. They claim the following week for sure. Damn, another 5 days to go. That Thursday, I have to return some movies and figure I'll pester the guy again, but I notice the shop closes at 9 and it's 5 after. Still, I can get through the Hollywood video section. Oh yeah, that's like part of the same store.
Right.
I saunter in and notice some light boxes on the DS light boxes on the shelf. Figuring they're empty, I query when the next shipment is coming in and he says, wait. Why wait? We have some in stock. I don't know when they came in, but those bastards forgot to call me. They even had mine sitting aside. Oh my god. Aww. That's messed up. How long had it been there? How many hours of gameplay did I lose? Ah! Well, they did not have Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow. I figured a trip to Toys R Us was in order right away, but I still had to hit the recycling center. It was 10 after 9, and I figured they'd close at 10 o'clock, so that gave me a good 30 minutes to do my chore and get over there. But just in case, I picked up Resident Evil. Good thinking. Good thing I did, because the damn store was closed. I hit Walmart, but they did not have it, so another day. I'm a Resident Evil whore, but this is the fourth time I have bought and played the first game. Woo!
Damn.
You know, I'm... That's awesome, though. Because I do about the same thing with Final Fantasy. Pretty sure I have 3 or 4 copies of that, too. Final Fantasy VI, I mean.
Yeah, a couple copies of the same type.
So, yeah, I know.
Like you have 2 of the PS1s, don't you?
I think I have 3. I think I have, yeah. I think I have 2 of the originals. Mm-hmm. One's open, one's sealed. And I have 1 sealed, I think, of the re-release, whatever it was. And then I used to have the original. Once on the PC, once on the GameCube, and then again when the revamped version came out, and now on the DS. Since I love Resident Evil, this game is right up my alley. It amazes me how much they can fit on a game pack the size of a postage stamp. Less than 24 hours later, I cut out of work early to snag a copy of Dawn of Sorrow. Man, is this a great game. I cannot put it down. Finally, a gaming system I can and want to take to the shitter with me. I look forward to your next episode where you review DS games looking at the... Oh, this was a while back then. This was 122. Looking at the current crop, there's some I'm on the fence around about Metroid. Looking at the current crop, there are some I'm on the fence about Metroid series. So I eagerly await your opinions, Dan Washko. So, yeah, he should have been here to read that himself. That would have been much better. And I'm hearing his voice in my head when I'm reading it. So, anyway, I wish, yeah, neither one of us have any of the Metroid games, but I want to pick up Metroid Prime Pinball or whatever the hell. It's Metroid Pinball or whatever the fuck, but it's $35 for a goddamn pinball game that does that split-screen, one-screen, large crap that I can't stand. But I'm glad he got a hold of Dawn of Sorrow because, you know, remember we were talking about...
Very tough
Yeah,
to find.
Good luck. I mean, you're going to turn to eBay these days to find Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow because I must have got lucky. I thought they had...
That was like a triple octave there. That was nice.
I must have got lucky. I thought they had like 3 copies of the Toys R Us I went to get it, right? Apparently, that was the last one. Because when we went back looking for it,
at least our Toys R Us has a really weird way of doing it. Like, all the stuff in the locked cabinet very well might be the empty boxes that used to be on the store, on the store floor.
Right. It makes my head hurt. And when I got Castlevania, I went in there and just went to the counter and pointed to the one he had back there.
Mm-hmm.
A week later, when we went back for another one, we didn't see one on the shelf, but when we went to the counter where it was, and there was four boxes there, and they're like, no, those are all empty.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. That's a weird system. No, I'm really glad he got that, because it is a pretty cool game, but, you know, in case anybody can't get it, you know, and doesn't want to go through the eBay, you can hang tight, because Portrait of Ruin should be coming out, you know.
And it will be very similar, and I would bet that they even get rid of the stupid seal writing thing.
Mm.
Because that really wasn't adding anything to the gameplay.
Right. You know, I think I've only had to do that like two or three times. I'm not that far, because I'm playing every... Oh, okay. Because I'm lost, and I just wander around that castle for a couple hours, and I quit playing when I die. I don't know. It's fun, but I got way into playing other crap. And Sonic, the one that we talked about before that I didn't really play for very long, I've been playing more. Because it is fun shit. It's actually really good, yeah. It's like the next, like, good Sonic game.
Mm.
You know, like, since before the Dreamcast, I'd say Sonic Adventure on the Dreamcast to today has been suck-ass Sonic games. They've been crap.
Mm-hmm.
And then this game comes out, Sonic Rush on the DS, and it's like fat Sonic again. It's cool.
Which is good. It leads me to believe that the new ones that are going to come out are going to be better.
I you should pick it up. I mean, it's fun shit. There's like three or four copies down there at our local Toys R Us down there. I mean, it's cool. It's cool. Of course, you maybe turn and tail on us. You don't want to give money to Sega, giving it to Electronic Arts and all.
I bought a game last night without really paying attention, and I get in the car, and C4's like, who makes that game again? And I'm like,
knowing,
oh, you son of a bitch, why didn't you say anything?
I tried to give you a clue, too.
Did you?
Remember when we were in the store and I picked up the Game Boy version of the same game
mm-hmm.
with the fat EA logo on the front of it, and you looked right at it, and you were like, eh, this has got to suck.
Oh.
In his defense, it was only... what the hell game was it anyway? Like Need for Speed or
Need
something?
Need for Speed Underground 2. It was $20. I've been playing all that Mario Kart. It was feeling like something a little more realistic. And but not like GT realistic.
Right.
And that was
and
there.
Fucking
it was
Daytona.
$20. And so,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it happens.
I had nightmares last night. Like, I got no sleep.
I made the mistake of buying Battlefield 2 when it came out. That was my donation to Electronic Arts.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was $40. I paid to
so
EA.
I'm still $20 on you.
Well, I sold it to a coworker for $25. So does that count me back down to only $15?
No.
No, because they still got their money.
You didn't get the money
back from
EA.
Right. I'll have to go there and take it by force. Bastards. But, wow, we have no news this week. Not one news story.
Did we look?
No.
Okay.
Crap.
So
yeah,
there
like,
might be news.
We were like ill-planned for this episode. Like we had email and then there was a big plan. I had the fattest grand plan for this show and I thought it was going to be way, way cool. The plan was, some of you might have noticed on the forums, I kind of dropped a hint or two about it.
Yeah.
About Windows Vista Beta 2. So, like... yeah, Vista and stuff. And that was the plan anyway. So I went ahead and downloaded the Vista Beta 2 Ultimate Edition. You know, it's like everything. This fucking thing is like, you know, giant. I mean, it's huge. It's like multiple gigs. It's a DVD mm-hmm. ISO, first of all. And after you install it, I want to say it's like 4, 5, 6 gigs, though. It's up there. It's huge.
Yeah.
And it's large. The installer for it... was a trip because, like, I didn't do the upgrade install. Like, I can't bring myself to do that. I know how bad this is. Like, I still see Windows XP machines that were upgrades from 98. I still see this at my job, and I'm like, no wonder you're I'm amazed your computer turns on, you know? Fucking A. So I won't do that to myself. So, of course, I boot up off the disk, and I must say, Microsoft finally has a decent installer. It not only recognizes video cards people own, you know, this day and age, okay, like NVIDIA cards and ATI cards, therefore it loads an actual driver, so it's kind of pretty when you're doing the install. XP still the fuck doesn't do that.
No.
You know, not for most cards anyway. But it also allows you to load, and this is a big giant problem I have with XP all the time, is if you have drivers, because I have a controller card with hard drives on it that is not supported by Windows, you know, so I have a driver floppy diskette that I have to use. Well, that's fucking pain in the ass.
Crap.
Yeah, well, I haven't used that the first time. I have my version of XP. Like, I built it into it so that it just loads automatically. Like, that's like a, you know, and I put in Service Pack 2. You can add all that crap. But this, now Vista gives you an option to load a driver off of a CD. Before, it was only floppy. You fucking boot up XP to the installer. Well, even like NT, I think, is like this in 2000. You have to hit F6 really quick to catch it so that like it's aware that you're trying to tell it, hold on, I need to load a third-party driver. Mm-hmm. And then it loads a few things, and then it says put in the disk. That's all you get, floppy disk. Well, anyway, so on Vista, you've got a CD and a fucking USB flash drive.
Nice.
Now, if I remember right, because I loaded up Longhorn like way back in the day, and it didn't have the USB flash drive like option. Like, it didn't say that. Like, I'm sure it very well may have worked, maybe. I don't know. But it didn't say that. But now it actually says it. The installer's kind of pretty. It has like this whole Aurora Borealis thing going on, you know? I mean, it's kind of nice.
Well,
pleasant.
And I mean, certainly what computer technician, what computer professional does not have a thumb drive?
No shit. I don't leave home without mine. Little one gig SanDisk titanium deal.
Most of us non-professionals have one.
Yeah. I mean, they're incredibly handy, you know? I need to get me one of the 4 gig ones. Oh, I can carry around prawn and work stuff at the same time. Fuck yes. So anyway,
whole feature film movie.
This was actually a pretty pleasant install for Windows, except for one bizarre thing. When you go to do the format part of it, like, and it's all nice and graphical now. You use your mouse. You don't have like this ugly blue and white screen, you know, that's very cryptic about things. Not that I have a problem with it, but most people freak out.
Right.
You have a nice little graphical installer for it and everything, but when you click on the drive to format, and you only have this little format button, it, like, quick formats it, and that's all you have. Like, so you click format, and, like, you would think it would ask you quick or, like, take for days or NTFS or, you know, WinFS, which we know was canceled. Right. Maybe even FAT32. Maybe, you know? Why would they not at least give you the option? Man, I shit you not. You have no option. You just have this button that you click that says format. And you click it, and, like,
it
does a quick format NTFS. It's all, hang on a second. Okay, done. Click next to proceed with the install. It's I don't like that. I always have bad luck with the quick formats.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems
dirty. It does. It's dirty to me.
Well, and it seems to like lower performance a little bit because it has to deal with the data that's actually there.
I don't like it. I didn't like that feature at all. So whatever the case, maybe we're tripping, but I always have bad luck with it.
Yeah.
So you go on, and it only asks you. It's kind of nice. It only asks you like where you're from, like USA, you know, like country.
Mm-hmm.
What time is it, and what do you want your username to be? That's pretty cool. Because the other Windows installs, you know, are you hooked up to a network? What, you know, all these fucking questions. This goes pretty quick through that. Now, I've come to realize, I think that's where I ran into my biggest problems with it, is that it doesn't ask me those very nice network questions. Now, if anybody remembers Windows 2000, I thought it had a great, like, networking setup. You know, like the way that you set it up, the way that you worked with it, and all that crap. XP came along, and it's like this wizarded version of their networking setup now. Like, you can't just do what you want. Like, I don't know. I have now. You can just turn it all off, and I've gotten kind of used to ignoring all their little questions and all their stupid little things. The new one for Vista is even worse, though. It's bizarre. So anyway, you get into the install. This fucking hog takes for days to get going, by the way. Now, I have a fairly decent computer.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, by no means is this thing anywhere close to the top of the line, but it is also light years above these bottom rung machines that you see, you know, at like the Best Buys and the CompUSAs and the whatnots.
Like all the moms and dads that are buying freaking e-machine, $400 e-machine.
Right, 256 megs of RAM and all this crap. Right,
yeah.
This thing, it's a 3.4 Pentium 4, you know, HT is turned on. I got happy threading turned on. It's a Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
So it runs like, you know, 4 billion degrees. It's an Intel motherboard, 915 chipset, GeForce 6800, 256 megs of RAM on that. It's got 2 gigs of DDR2, an 80 gig hard drive on the serial ATA controller that the hard drive is on, and then like two 250s or something on a IDE controller card.
Mm-hmm.
And then a DVD burner and a CD burner. An X-Fi, a Creative Labs X-Fi. And I guess that's about the important things. Oh, and a Linksys LNE 100TX version 1 network card. That's important for the story. So, I set up my computer, you know, I get Vista installed. First thing I notice is the neat little theme they've got for everything, you know, this whole arrow thing.
It's definitely pretty.
It is. I like it. I really do. Because, well, as you can see here, I'm still using Classic.
Right.
Because I cannot stand the Windows XP themes. I hate them. I do not like them. But if Vista didn't suck balls, I would use this theme, this arrow glass theme, whatever the fuck this is. I kind of dig it.
It's smooth. It's clean.
It is.
It's not bright.
It doesn't look like it came from Play School. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's not bright blue or whatever. The start button's gone. You have this weird little circular deal with the Windows logo.
The flag, yeah.
Which we decided needs to be in every video game that runs on Windows. And there's I don't know. The plan was to do gaming on Windows Vista mm-hmm. for the show. And, you know, because it's got DirectX 10 in it also. And I really wanted to do this. So, you know, one of the first things I had to do was install sound drivers because it doesn't come with the Creative Labs X-Fi sound driver built in. So I fired up fucking Internet Explorer 7. My God. What a piece of shit that is. And cannot find.
Tabs.
Cannot find. Yeah, it has tabs. Microsoft leading the way in innovation. It's amazing what they've done for us. It's spectacular. The other thing I noticed from them, they've completely protected me from the evils of the internet. You know, they added that whole, you've got your Windows Defender built into it now, so it warns you, you know, about all the, it checks for spyware, it warns you if you don't have any spyware protection and antivirus, and if your firewall gets turned off. They have completely guarded me from problems on the internet. It has a phishing filter built into IE7. Because to,
how the hell does that work?
I don't know. To save my life, I could not get online. No matter what I did. And when I say no matter what I did, I know my way the fuck around Windows XP incredibly well. Okay? This is not that different. Okay? It's fucking Windows still. Mm-hmm. And I cannot get it online, period. At all. It will not do anything. I discover, okay, fine. It doesn't have a driver for my network card. Okay, fine. No problem. I'll get one. I have the driver laying around here for, you know, whatever OS. It refuses to let me load it. It says it's not for this version of Windows. I have the NT driver 2000, etc. Now XP, it tells me fuck yourself. Now XP has it built in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this doesn't have it built in for whatever reason. They decided your hardware's too old. Pay some more money to a hardware manufacturer. So I say, okay, fuck you guys then. I'll use my onboard Intel supported by everybody network card.
Mm-hmm.
That's sacrilege for me, using onboard stuff, in case you don't know yet. So I restart, go to the BIOS, turn on my network card, reboot, Windows detected my fucking Intel LAN, no problem. Then it asks me this bizarre question. Something about, like, are you on are you on, like, an open network, or are you on, like, a private network? And I'm sitting there just, like, stunned. Well, I don't know. I'm at my house on my private network, but we're on the interweb.
Yeah, kind of both?
Yeah. So I did not know what to answer. So, fine. I'm on private. They made it sound secure. Okay? Yeah. So I click private network. Bam! This page cannot be displayed. Okay. I think I just cut myself off the internet. So I go through every fucking setting I can find. Digging through every option, turning off the phishing filter, because this thing keeps popping up. You know?
You're being phished!
Yeah. Trying to go to Microsoft.com. This page is fucking threatening. I'm like, my God, right? So I can't get anywhere. So, like, I mean, I'm pretty frustrated. I try all the usual tricks. They have this, what they think to be, a slick little, like, network topology map, you know? It's like, let me detect your problem and figure out why you can't get online. Windows is going to lay out your network for you and figure it out. All right, so it shows, like, your computer and then, like, the internet or some shit, you know? And I'm like, okay, that's your awesome network topology I've got there, right? Now, if anybody's actually seen this place, it's a little different than your average layout, I think. It's weird here.
Oh, yeah.
It's very weird. But I thought, how fucking sick would it be if Windows laid it out like it is? I'd be so fucking stoked. Just be like, wow, that's neat. But anyway.
But no.
So, right, no, it has a like, advanced view, though. And I'm like, oh, dude, I bet it shows my whole network, thinking it's going to show it. Now, just so you know what you're looking at. You got the interweb. So draw the little cloud in your mind that says interweb.
Right.
The little line into my cable modem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you draw the cable from the cable modem to a Linksys BEFSR41, a little wired-only router, okay? That goes off to an Xbox and a PS2. Then it goes over to a BFSR 8.1, another wired-only 8-port Linksys router, which goes down to, what is her machine? Windows XP Home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then a long-ass, like, 150-foot cord comes over here to a Linksys WRT54GL, which goes to two, three, four, however many machines we have hooked up at the time, at least two usually, and then does the wireless for the DS Lite and the PSP.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, how sick would that be if it showed all that? Well, you click it, and all it does is it takes your picture of, like, the interweb and your computer, and now in the middle of the picture, it puts Internet Gateway. I'm like, what the fuck? Oh, my God. Okay, fuck this. So I try issuing commands by hand, you know, like, doing the whole IP config this and that, trying to release it, renew it, give it a static IP. Nothing works. It is not talking outside of itself. I mean, it is locked down. Turn off the firewall, turn off the phishing filter. It doesn't care. Your ass is, you're not getting online. The driver works 100%. It says it works. You know, everything looks good. No internet, no matter what I did. So I go to her machine, the XP home box, and I download the Creative Labs, because I figured, you know what, I don't need to be online to test games for the show.
Right.
I just want to see how well some of this shit works for the show. But I need sound. So I go to her machine, get the sound drivers, put them on my little flash drive, come over here, copy these things over. Now I click on the install for these fucking, and I hate Creative Labs. I hate these fucking bastards. And they have exceeded my expectations of their poor programming with their Vista driver.
Which is tough.
Which, yeah, I mean, they had to work on this one, okay? Because this one fucking lies to you. So I click on it, it says, you need to install this, blah, 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 yes, hard, you know, X-Fi hardware, blah, 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 yeah, we're good to go, click next, we'll install the drivers. Then a little screen comes up, says, please wait, this may take a few minutes, updating Windows drivers. This took so long, I forgot it was installing. And the only reason I didn't reboot the machine was because I was talking, I think, to you on IRC on the other machine here.
Right.
And I was like, I was totally occupied with something else. It's the only reason this actually had the 10 minutes it took to sit there on that screen before it finally popped up and said, installed, good to go, click OK to reboot. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to have sound.
Didn't they say something about we're not going to have to reboot as often?
Yeah, that's a load of shit. So, okay, so I reboot. I'm expecting sound. It comes up, tells me there's a problem with my sound device. Doesn't work, you have no sound. Get fucked, install drivers. Now, granted, they're beta drivers and it's a beta OS, but I mean, okay.
Beta 2.
But, yeah.
They decided, Microsoft decided this was good enough that we're going to release it. This is open beta. Anybody can go and say, hey, I want to download this. And
they'll be could like, have.
Huh? Yes.
They cut it off.
Completely open. And they were just like, here, come, test it out. But obviously, they decided it was good enough.
At this rate, they need to go to like beta 7. They usually go like beta 2, then like release candidate 1, and then 2, and then usually a final. I've wound up using, I think, everything except for the NT specific ones, just like NT4, I guess I never used, of the beta. But I did, like, 95. I had, like the 97. Like, what was it called? Memphis or Chicago? Whatever the hell it was, that's what it was. That was fine. You know? The 98 beta was fine. The 2000 beta was fine. The XP beta was fine. This is scary. This is fucking terrifying here. That they're this far,
mm-hmm.
and it's that bad. It's pretty, though.
Oh, yeah?
It really is pretty. Now, they have these little, widget type, what do they call them? Gadgets? Gadgets. Yeah. Right, okay. It's kind of cool, because I have this little, I use this program in XP called SmartBar XP. Basically gives me a sidebar, you know, that thing that everybody remembers seeing from the Longhorn screenshots and everything.
Mm.
Anyway, this is essentially that. Little widgets and whatnot that you can, like, tack on to that sidebar thing, and have, like, RSS feeds and a clock and pictures and whatever. I dig that. That's cool. I like it's built into my operating system now because SmartBar XP is buggy as fuck and that other one, Desktop Bar, is crap.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's cool. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Now, one of the coolest things I thought of Vista was I remember, or more from Microsoft, they have that rating system from, like, I think it either starts at 0.1 or 1.0 and goes up to 5.9.
Mm-hmm.
That's their weird scale. Okay. Now this rates your machine to see how it can run Vista. Now, I looked all over
I heard that they're working on having different applications put
that
program's rating on it too.
Right. So that your machine must rate at least a 4 to run this program decently or whatever.
Right.
Right. So that'll be nice because I'm going to, you know, that'll
for the next like 6 months until hardware gets better and what a 4 is.
Well, maybe. I mean, you know, the program's not going to get burlier if it's an older program, but if they release a new version of the program, they'll have to put a higher number up there.
Right, but then they can only go to 6.
Right. Well, I don't know. We'll see what they're going to do. I mean, who knows? This might just be a temporary fix, too, but But anyway, so it occurs to me that this has got to be a free download from Microsoft's website somewhere, this little tool that benchmarks your machine and tells you what kind of video card, or well, at least not what kind, I mean, it kind of gives you a rating.
Right.
Your video card is a, you know, NVIDIA GeForce 6800, you get a 3 or whatever, you know? And you have this much memory, and you have this much hard drive space. So I'm looking all over Microsoft's website for a tool to download this. This was, like, just before I installed Vista, right? Couldn't find it. Gave up on it. Sure enough, I'm poking around in Vista and find it. This is a tool to tell if your machine can run Vista.
In Vista.
That comes installed with Vista only. Good thinking on that one. That's like those packaged EULAs in the box already. You open it, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's totally what that reminded me of. Oh, you bought it. You may not be able to run it, but you bought it. You're fucked now. You opened it. Thanks for the $300, jackass. So anyway, I was kind of bent about that. But anyway, I went poking around the machine. Couldn't really... My dreams were shattered. I thought it would have been such a cool show. I mean, I took a couple screenshots of some things, but it wasn't very exciting, you know? I wanted to have some neat screenshots. I had a couple bugs. Like, the best one is when the machine boots, and then like 2 seconds later, the screen popped up on me that says, this program has caused a slowdown during the boot process. Should it be, like, you know, axed or whatever? And it's explorer.exe. Now... Overall, let me see if I can find the screenshot here.
I laughed so hard. Now, that's so funny.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, my God.
That screenshot's gold.
Yeah. You can never get rid of that.
No. I'll leave it on the site somewhere. Like, you know, one thing I did notice, too, the whole thing was, like, graphically redone, and all the icons are absolutely beautiful, I think. Every single icon they, like, redid really nice. I mean, things are nice. Even, like, when copying a file, you don't have this, like, the little tack marks in the thing anymore. You have, like, this nice gel-looking green thing slime across the screen.
Yeah, it's all it's hard very, to describe. Very nice and,
yeah,
and
it's
polished.
And very pretty. It really is. It's very, very pretty.
But nothing under the skin works.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, there it is. This application caused a slowdown in the startup process. Explorer.exe. That's a great screenshot. Now, oh, one of the things I thought was neat, too, I was poking around, looking at, you know, just trying to get a feel for it. Came across the, you know, I was turning off the firewall thing for whatever, and it pops up a little thing that's like, you should, like, read about this. It says, like, learn more or something. So I clicked it just to see. They have, like, a full-on help system on this. So, like, you know, so when people don't know what the hell they're doing, they can click on that, and it's useful now. It doesn't, before it's like, click on this, and it's all, this is the Windows firewall.
Dude, my help program is busted.
No, it's because you're using mine. Or, well, not mine.
No,
but
it
that,
always... Oh.
The Nlight one? I took
no,
it
no,
out.
No, no.
Oh, okay.
It always has.
Mm.
If the default program that runs .nfios or whatever...
It's not NFO, is it? CHM or something. Whatever it is.
No, NFO. Info.
Okay.
It doesn't work.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a default program for that. I thought it was, you know... Notepad.
No.
Oh.
it's supposed to... The help program is
well, how
supposed
are you supposed
to
read how many discs in the set you've got and what group released it and whatnot? Oh, an NFO like from Windows. I don't know. So anyway. Let's see. Yeah, see my Internet Explorer can display webpage. Again, the graphics were beautiful. I mean, I really thought like the icons were nice. The disc icon is awesome. It's all shiny and really looks like a silver disc.
Yeah.
They did a good job. I'm actually flipping through my screenshots here trying to find something. There's the phishing filter one. The pie chart when you right click a hard drive and take a look at the properties on it is like anti-aliased now. So it's like not all jaggedy edges. I thought that was a nice touch. Oh, there's the one I'm looking for. So when you right click on your My Computer icon, and you go down to Properties, and you usually come up with, like, the System tab, you know, where the one where it shows you your name of your computer, that kind of thing, who owns it, what version of Windows it is. You can turn on and off, like, System Restore crap. Mine only worked some of the time. And then half the time it would come up and say, this page failed to load, which is scary. So all this stuff isn't, like, a running program. It's, like, some kind of XML page that gets rendered with Explorer.
Yeah.
That is fucking freaky. I don't like that very much. I also didn't like that there was no... Like, my icons were fucked. You don't have list view anymore. You know, like, the only way that I could ever work Windows. using list view, where it's just a tiny little midget icon with the name of the damn thing. You have like mega huge icons, which like literally are like 3 inches tall.
Ew.
Yeah. Or you can actually shrink it down to almost how it looked like list view before. Mm-hmm. It's freaky. I mean, I don't know if I could use this.
You know, I honestly forgot a lot of things because I've been listening to interviews with people who have been in the beta like the whole time. And but apparently, like never before, Windows Vista is like Swiss cheese security wise.
Jesus.
Like there's, it doesn't come like Service Pack 2 has like a its own like firewall and
right.
This sort of thing. Well, that stuff is not in Vista, but like they have hooks in the actual operating system for other like McAfee,
right,
to install into the operating system. And some of the more knowledgeable people are saying that's like the perfect doorway for
a
virus,
especially if you're running McAfee or Norton. If anybody's paid attention in the news for like the last 2 months. Norton is some scary fucking shit. Not only was there that one gnarly fucking thing where they could completely take over your system, Norton itself had like four separate, Norton Antivirus, had like three or four separate gnarly updates that were like, you know, auto updates, and all of a sudden, Norton tells you you're using a pirated copy, you must uninstall. There was one where it just completely said all your files were corrupted from Norton. There was one that completely blocked all web access, and then there was another one that... it kept popping up saying Norton has encountered a problem, blah, 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 go fuck yourself. Mm. And it was the Norton box, not the Windows one, though. I mean, and these were updates that people rolled out, that Norton, Symantec, rolled out, and I had to put up with.
Ew.
At my job. People yelling at me saying, I broke fucking Norton.
Right, right.
Try to explain that to somebody who doesn't know what fucking Explorer is and tell them I didn't do shit. Don't fucking use that crap. So anyway, Windows Vista blows ass, and basically we spent like the last half an hour talking about how much Vista sucks. But I'm pissed because that was supposed to be the focus of the show, was gaming on Vista, you know, with DirectX 10.
Yeah, I'm pissed because now I can't use DirectX 10.
Right. If they're not going to put this on XP, we're fucked. Because I don't think I can use Vista. Like, I don't want to. I want the theme, and I want DirectX 10 support in XP.
Yeah.
That's what I want. The theme is pretty. But you know what? I can live with Classic View.
I won't use Vista until at least Service Pack 2.
I'll jump right on it, I'm sure.
You think so?
I say I won't, but I know I will because I'm a douchebag. I know I will.
It's too
I always
right
have.
Now.
No, it well, right well, now,
see,
but it's
like,
not out.
I waited quite a while for XP.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'll probably wait for Vista, though, just because I'm scared of it. I was never scared of another one. I got on with those just fine, but I'm scared of it. Vista was that bad. That bad. It made my machine fucking feel like a bitch. It was weird.
If it makes C4 wait to get new code.
Yeah. Yeah, that's unusual. Well, the last thing I wanted to touch on was this. This is the one I was actually looking for. Okay, my rate and improve your computer's performance little box thing, performance and rating tool. Processor, Intel Pentium 4, CPU 3.4 gigahertz, rating 4.1. Memory, RAM. 2 gigabytes, 5.1. This is up to 5.9, I guess. Primary hard disk. It's an 80 gig serial ATA Hitachi 3.8. Graphics, NVIDIA GeForce 6800, using Microsoft drivers 5.9. Gaming graphics, it says. 256 megabytes graphics memory, 4.8. Overall, a 3.
How does that happen?
The lowest rating I got was a 3.8, and that's only because it only read my smallest hard drive. The two fat ones, a half a terabyte is on a controller card. It's not that it doesn't have a driver for. And I get a 3. I didn't even know you could get above 5. And so when I saw 5.1, I was like, yeah. But then I read somewhere it was 5.9, I guess, is the highest.
Well, your graphics card is a 5.9.
Oh, what the hell? I didn't see that. I even read it, and it didn't register with me. So I have, I guess, the highest... What? No, that's for 2D. That's why.
Right.
Right.
And then you get a 4.8 for the 3D.
Mm-hmm.
But
Microsoft.
Well, then you get a 4.8 for the memory.
Gaming.
No, memory.
Memory. No, no, no. This is graphics. This is like your 2D gaming graphics. It just happens to mention the memory 4.8.
Well, still, I mean, my point is that the average of all those
is not 3.
3.
This is Microsoft's 1 plus 1 equals 3.
Yeah.
You know, this is...
No. This is 3 plus 4 equals 2.
yeah. This, exactly. Buy a new computer. Now, I don't know. Fucking Microsoft, man. They need to pull it together, basically. So anyway,
I hope they don't.
I get, yeah, right, exactly. I really. So, this bothered me enough, one, that I wasn't getting an IP address off my lovely WRT54GL router here, but I start to think that, well, okay, so I had changed my firmware from HyperWRT to DDWRT because it just seemed to be more popular and thought there's gotta be something I'm missing. Ever since I did that, I wasn't getting, like, it didn't seem like I was getting as good wireless out of it. Mm-hmm. And, the Windows box was a little flaky, but on XP. So seeing in Vista, I'm pissed now. I'm like, oh my fucking god, fucking router. I'll go back to HyperWRT because it worked so much better for me. So I wiped the machine, put XP back on. Now, I don't know how I managed this, but I think while I was doing that on this other machine, I update the firmware on the router, trying to go from DDWRT, whatever, to HyperWRT, the one I had before. Bricked it. Fucking bricked it. I was so pissed. I spent 2 days trying to fucking fix it. That's a long story, but how fucking Uber was it, though? Like, I had so much fun with this thing. It was worth every penny I paid for it to possibly not have it work. When I'm sitting there at 2 o'clock in the morning on no sleep with a metal pen in my hand and my router cracked open and two machines pinging it using all kinds of freaky tools, jabbing the pen, trying to short some pins and plugging the power right after that and not catch my house on fire to electrocute myself, that was fucking sick. And watching this thing fucking, like, kick around and, like...
The best part is, did you scream, "It's alive!"
No, I did, "I live again." That's what I was going to name it, Evil Ash. So that's what I did. That's what I did. But believe it or not, it fucking kicked around after like 3 hours of zapping it. I could not. This thing is fucking badass. Man, that's a story for another day, though, because we're running down to about 45 minutes of something that's really fucking cool. So totally distraught and tired of Vista. So yes, this episode is more like story hour than it is. So, and again, okay, so this was, you started this.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, I decided that it was time to learn some new stuff. And so I decided to put Linux on my laptop. And,
dun, dun, dun! Hear that, Bill?
So I started fucking around and made C4 get into it a little more, back into it, rather.
It's that I don't have anybody in my life that's interested in it.
Right.
So it makes it hard for me to have this one project that everybody kind of goes... Too, you know, because it's like, well, I like it. Fuck you guys, you know?
So we've been screwing around with it, trying to get some stuff to work, and C4 decided that, well, now that we have this Linux stuff, let's look into Linux gaming for the show.
And this is where it would have been great to have, like, Dan on from Linux Tech Show.
Yeah, that's what we mentioned earlier, because the rest of the show is going to be a little bit about Linux.
Right. Now, you got, what do you got?
SUSE 10.1.
10.1. And I put my trusty Slackware 10.2 on my main desktop. Now, I have always stated before, I will only run one Windows machine because I have to have one for gaming and one for my video stuff. That's it. And that's how it's been, always. But now, Kobar here, it's like, oh, I got all excited for you. Like, I even called you. Remember when I told you I pictured you, like, hacking late into the night, you know, shirt off, sweating, fucking lights are out, and your books piled up high, little notes scribbled on everything, and plush penguins and stuff laying around the house. I don't know. Like, I just had this awesome vision of it.
And it hasn't been quite like that yet, but I'm kind of, like, easing myself into it, because I've been using Windows since 3.1. And even...
Was that your first computer, like, experience, or...?
No.
Oh, okay.
My first computer experience was a Apple IIgs.
Oh, nice. All right. Yeah, I think I had an Apple IIe. Yeah, what a piece of crap that thing was.
In fact, I had one of, like, first 100 off the line. It actually
Holy shit.
It actually had Steve Jobs' signature on the side.
Oh, wow.
And now it's gone.
Oh, damn.
Lost in the move set somewhere.
Oh, no. But so anyway, I figured since I was taking Vista off, when I was going to put XP back on, I thought, you know, it might be kind of fun to see how Linux gaming is. My thinking, you know, we'll do this, you know, Linux gaming, how bad could it be, right? I know it sucks already, but, you know, it'll entertain some people. Well, so when I put Windows XP back on, I took that 80 gig drive that Windows Vista gave a 3.8, partitioned it in half, so 40 gigs went to Windows, and then I figured I'd dink around with the other 40 gigs and mess around with Slackware again and whatnot, because that's just the bomb distro. And, so... Yeah. get that up and running, no problem. And the first thing I decided to play around with was Quake 3, knowing that that's, you know, it works fairly well. Mm-hmm. So like the first night, I mean, it doesn't take long to install Slackware and set things up, especially when you've got another one, sitting right here, so it's easy for me to just copy things over and whatnot. Get it all together, look into the installing the games thing, and they have a really nice little installer for it. You download from id Software's FTP site. I mean, it just, bam, that's it. It updates it, patch, you got like the latest version, all that shit. But I didn't have Quake 3. Mm-hmm. So down there at the local like Best Buy, like you can find it at any place that sells games usually, but Best Buy had it, I know, for only $15. It was on sale this week. The Ultimate Quake Pack for $15. It's normally $19.99.
What timing?
Yeah, I know, exactly. And this is Quake
the
1.
Stars are aligning.
Exactly, yes. See,
Vista's crap.
Yep,
and
it's showing the doom for Microsoft. It's Quake 1, 2, and 3, and I was all afraid that it was going to be like this compilation deal, like either on a DVD and you got to use some funky Windows installer to unpack all this crap, or you're going to get like a 2-CD set, you know, because fucking Quake 1 and 2 are pretty small. They'll fit on one disc, and probably Quake 3 on a second disc or something. Dude, they straight up give you a Quake 1, a Quake 2, and a Quake 3 disc, and they were so fucking lazy that I'm fairly certain they're not even the latest versions. I'm positive, I'm fairly sure, that my Quake 3 disc out of that pack is like not, it's like 2 points. Like, what's the new one? 1.32, I think. This one's like 1.3, I think.
Hmm.
You know, it's like they were just that lazy about it. I couldn't believe it. But it's cool, because it's a real disc. So it worked with Linux and the little installer thing. Like,
no
problem. No
big deal.
It like came with the patch. Like, it's weird. It's like the thing that I downloaded from them just worked.
Hmm.
Like, I'm not 100% sure, but whatever. I was up and running and playing Quake 3, like, just bam, and it was awesome. So I was pretty happy. Well, instead of fucking with things and taking like, you know, 8 weeks to try to get a game to run, I remember that Super Gamer thing that we heard mentioned somewhere. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember, probably on Logger or something. And went ahead and downloaded that. It's called Super Gamer, and if you Google Super Gamer -1, all one word, no spaces, you come up with this. It's a live, it's PC OS Linux, no, PC Linux OS, live CD, kind of geared to gaming because it's got, you know, a quite a few games on there, and I thought, oh, this will be kind of neat, so we can get into this for the show a little bit. So while I downloaded that, I remembered, okay, how far has Sonega come? Because I haven't looked into this. I gave up on Linux gaming years ago.
Right.
That's why I just never cared. You know, it's just like, well, I know it sucks. I mean, I remember trying to get sound before, you know, on a Sound Blaster Live in like 99, and I'm going, I could never play games on this. Oh my God. You know, and then all the cool games that came out didn't work for it. So I just, you give up after a point. You know, you use it, you like it. Suddenly you use Windows for email, surfing, gaming.
You get lazy.
You get, yeah. All of a sudden you use it, you know, for your main desktop because you play a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but every other machine in the house runs something you can trust. Something that'll work. Something that has to get shut off and rebooted all the time. So I went ahead and downloaded like this 3.5 gig ISO image of this bootable CD here. That's supposed to have a DVD of all these games that run on this PC Linux OS. The first thing I noticed about it was it has this really lame background. Like this crazy like undead vampire dragon head thing, whatever the fuck it is. I don't know. It's not cool. But whatever. Who cares what
it's
the
like,
hell?
It's like 80s heavy metal.
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah. It's fucking terrible. And the second thing I noticed right off the bat was that it's set at 800 by 600. And I don't know if it just detects my card as, you know, whatever. It's a 6800 NVIDIA GeForce 6800. So it trust me, it does way better resolution than that. Or if they just hard set, like, the whether it's Xorg or whatever the hell it is. X386, I'm not sure. I'm not actually sure which one it is. But whatever it is, it's almost like they hard-coded it in there. It's like that's the highest resolution you can use, which is a real pisser. Because throughout the testing of all these games, we discovered a lot of the games are defaulted to run at 1024 by 768, mm-hmm. which makes it really difficult when you're, you know, trying to play the game. And not only that, but look at like the menus. You can't like see the menu to go ahead and change the resolution all the time.
You get the 800 by 600 center.
Yeah.
And then anything else is outside the viewing range.
Yeah, it's a real bummer, you know.
Or even better, the stuff that only runs at like 340 by whatever.
Oh, right.
Like Doom.
Right, yeah.
That's just like a little like
box
in the corner.
Yeah. It just doesn't quite work out just right. But it does have quite a pile of games on it, and I was actually impressed with some of them. It was kind of neat because a lot of these games I never heard of before, mm-hmm. which was really cool. It runs a modified KDE desktop is what it is. It's, you know, modified to use their freaky little logos and background and all that crazy stuff on there.
And it looks a little, like, trimmed down, too. It's not, like, the full...
full-blown deal. Right. One thing I noticed, now, with two different sound cards I had happened to be trying, one was a 24-bit SoundBlaster Live value, one was a SoundBlaster Live 5.1. The 5.1 was detected just fine and had sound and volume turned on and everything. The other one, it was like muted out and all the sound was turned off for some odd reason. It was really strange.
Yeah.
I don't know why the hell that happened, but whatever. It detected everything I had and worked just fine. So the list of games on this thing. Now, it does come with a bunch of other crap that nobody really cares about, you know, OpenOffice, Firefox, you know, a couple IRC programs like XChat.
Certainly you don't care while you're using this distribution.
Yeah, like it was on there. I don't know. You know, you can install it to your hard drive. There was an option there to install it to your hard drive, which I suppose that would be pretty cool because you'd at least have all these applications that you will use. But as far as the disk, almost how it, like, advertises itself, it's just like a, you know, live CD for gaming, you know. So it was kind of weird and, like, extraneous to see all this crap on there.
And I would say that something like Firefox or maybe XChat is actually pretty good for a gaming distro.
Right, yeah, no, yeah. It's OpenOffice and all this other weird crap on there and 48 different, you know, all the and the GIMP you don't need. It was extraneous, you know. Mm-hmm. Firefox and XChat, though, definitely. Though I was really happy to have those there, you know. So anyway, you start out the little... It wasn't called entertainment. What was it called? Started with an A. It was like abstractions or something. Or what was the hell was it? Whatever it was. It was some... Anyway. It was pretty fun, though. Whatever the hell the word they used for it was. It didn't just say games. It said something else. I can't remember what the hell it was now.
Entertainment either.
No, it wasn't entertainment. It was like... Oh, fuck. Whatever it was, it was kind of funny, though. But whatever. In any case, it had them broken down into sections. And let's see. I'm just going to start from the top of the games that we went through basically all of them, though, and just had a little short thing to say. Now, this BZ flag game, where you're like a tank and you drive around and you use the mouse control and shoot other tanks and capture the flag or some shit.
It's like the graphics of that game Hover.
Yeah.
Remember that game?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But worse, almost.
Yeah.
They were bad. And yet... There was 203 servers and like 4 hojillion plus 3 people playing. It was fucking crazy. They were having a good time and I wasn't. I don't get it. I don't think it was a very but hey, it must be a popular game, so it must fit pretty well on this.
Well, and it also looked like controlled like ass.
It did. It controlled like dog shit. It was crazy. So I mean, this was my first jump into this disc, and already I'm like, oh yeah, Linux gaming still sucks my ass, you know, I can't believe how bad this is. The very next game, this game called Chromium BSU, B as in boy. Everybody's gotta play this game. It's fucking fun. It's a vertical shooter. Mm-hmm. And the graphics were great, except for the little Tux icons floating around, you know.
Which is where that comment that we think the Windows theme should be in every
Windows game, right?
You should be everywhere.
You should totally be playing like Quake 3, walking around, and like, you know, you pick up a power up in one of those circles, like those spheres.
And it's either like the Windows logo or Tux.
Yeah,
depending on which.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Get over it, people.
Yeah,
Tux is a great mascot. He makes a great icon for Linux. It doesn't need to be in every application.
Right, they don't...
It's like the K in
KDE stuff. Right. You know, and Mario's not in every Nintendo game. He's in a lot of them, but not every single one. There's a time and a place for your mascot. Okay, Tux, sorry. You belong in Super Tux. Mm-hmm. Not in some crazy blast-em-up shooter game, which was really cool. It's a really fun shoot-em-up. And you get a bunch of power-ups. You have, like, a health bar, too, which is kind of nice. You can get shot, like, 2 or 3 times or something. And, you know, you upgrade your guns and everything. A lot of fun. You control with just the mouse, which gives you, like, fat precision accuracy. It was so nice to play a game with that's that responsive. Mm. One of the interesting things about it, though, was I liked the soundtrack. It was like this, like, speed metal or something, but it was, like, such a low-quality sampled, like, MP3 that it made it sound like ass.
Incredibly tinny.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I mean, if they would have just pumped up the sound, it would have been even more fun, because it kind of gets you into it a little bit more when you've got some loud sound blasting away and
I'm
whatnot.
Actually going to have to try installing the actual Chromium.
Right.
And see if it's because it was on that disc.
Right, yeah, just to test it. Yeah, I'm not so sure either exactly what the deal is. But, man, it was fun. Tight controls, a lot of fun, good sound, great graphics. I mean, I was just blown away. The next game on here, they had something called Amelia 3D Pinball. Amelia, yeah, 3D Pinball. It's got, like, one map. It's barely a pinball game at that. It has a second map that's in development. crappy graphics because they use like, you know, low res graphics for like the graphics they put on the things like the, as a texture, mm-hmm. but then like a really well rendered flipper, you know? And I was like, okay.
Well, and the table that did work was not even all that like special.
Yeah, right. There wasn't things to hit video, too much, really.
Yeah, video pinball needs to be crazy. Yeah. There needs to be all kinds of stuff going on because it's not real.
Yeah.
There's no, like, tilting and...
You can tilt, yeah, but, like, it's not... You're the not, same. Right, yeah. It's not the same. You're not making the movement, really, yourself. You're pressing a key on a keyboard, you
and
know?
And even real pinball games have all kinds of crazy lights flashing.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the draw of pinball.
Loud really. Music and stuff.
There's got to be crazy stuff going on for digital pinball.
This is not Epic Pinball.
Right.
You know, you ever played Epic Pinball like back on the old 386 days?
I think so,
that was some epic pinball there. Okay, this is not so epic. Now Frozen Bubble is on here. This is like a mainstay as far as, you know, Linux gaming goes because you guys can play games on Linux. Oh yeah, I have Frozen Bubble. Shut the fuck up.
I have
Super Tux too. Shut the fuck up.
Frozen Bubble is like bad bust a move.
Why is it bad?
Because it only uses the like keys.
So?
It's not nearly as responsive as if you could use the mouse and
actually. Okay,
like,
yeah, you're right.
Like there's like clicks.
There is. You're right. It's hard to get the angles that you think would be the right angles.
Right.
You're absolutely correct on that. I noticed that problem too, but didn't quite occur to me. So, yeah, but that's still a lot of fun and very polished. The graphics are nice. There's like little to nothing wrong with it.
They just need mouse support so you can get the full 180 degrees.
Right, that would be sweet. And it's basically Bust a move. Yeah.
Or so, Bubble Bubble, I think.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember. They're all the same damn clones. But Frozen Bubble, that's actually a hell of a lot of fun. Now, and like, you can tell they went through all these games and set them up so that they ran like full screen. Like, whoever set this up actually put some effort into it, mm-hmm. which blows my mind why I could only run things at 800 by 600, and yet some of the games were configured for 1024 by 768.
Well, I mean, this sort of thing is a lot of work. And
right,
it is
yeah.
1.0.
I guess. It was Super Gamer Dash 1.
Right.
There was no, like, actual version or anything. Like 1.0. It was just Super Gamer Dash 1. So, whatever. But another thing. Oh, when we were playing pinball, you use shift keys, you know, for the flippers. When you hit the shift key X amount of times, just like in Windows, KDE pops up and says, oh, you're having some kind of a fucking problem with your keyboard. Would you like to turn on sticky keys or whatever? I'm like, oh, my fucking God, you know, that needs to be disabled from the
right.
start. Because a couple of these games, you know, use the keys like that. So then there's a game on there called Neverball, which looks like it wants to be Super Monkey Ball, you know, because basically you tilt the playing field, you roll the ball around, you pick up some coins or whatever, and you hit the goal. My problem, okay, it had nice, calming, soothing sound, which was of good quality. The graphics were well-polished. It even had a fairly decent enough interface. Most of the games I see have a crappy interface.
And those labyrinth things can be a lot of fun. I mean, it looked like it was going to be a very solid game.
I was stoked until I got down with the controls. And it, like, changes with the camera rotates, mm-hmm. which you have no control over. So all of a sudden...
It's like the problem in, say, Resident Evil. You go into one room, and then all of a sudden, whoa, no, you're rocking this way.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what they needed to do, how they fixed it in Resident Evil and those kind of games, is it continues going in the same direction until you let go.
Right, exactly. Yeah, this needed something. It just needed to not change the orientation of the board when it moved the camera is all. Because, you know, I'm swinging the mouse to the right to, say, tilt the board to the right to roll my ball to the right. The camera decides how cool of an effect it would be if I swung around the back of the ball. Well, now I'm tilting the board back. And not to the right anymore, and I'm fucking up.
Did you happen to look to see if there was a...
I didn't see some kind of an option that said, don't fuck me up the ass. But I looked.
No, like, disable camera movement or...
No, I didn't see anything that would be anything like that. Uh-uh. So next up on the list was this game called Neverputt, based on, like, the same engine, same more or less idea, except for it's, like, mini-golf, which is fat. They did a really, really good job with this. It seems to be like the same nice, soothing, quiet music. You can play like four players. It's hot seat though, so you switch out with whoever else is gonna putt. And the controls were fantastic. You just like pull the mouse back and it has like a little line. It shows you how much power you're gonna use on your swing, and you could get it from any angle you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it has all these crazy designed courses. Really cool. I had a lot of fun. I played for like a damn hour when I was just trying to test this crap for the show. There was this game called Penguin Racer. Fine. You can use Tux in this game. You're out in the ice, and you're a big, fat penguin sliding down the ice. Fine. Wasn't a lot of fun.
From what I saw of it, I would have liked it to have been a little faster and more responsive.
Basically, all you do is slide down this hill and try to collect, like, anchovies or something, or herrings or something. Mm-hmm. It did have a lot of courses, though. I mean, it showed that there was, like, 5 different circuits with each with, like, 3 or 4 different courses, and you had to get, like, a certain time and number of herrings or some shit to move on. So, I mean, they were trying, but I wasn't having fun. It
felt sluggish to me.
Anyway. Sluggish, right. And I don't know. Even if it was faster, I still don't see myself playing it, really.
Right.
It just wasn't doing it for me. But it did have some pretty pleasant enough music, I guess, though. It needed, like, a user interface, too. It just all of a sudden you're just there on the screen sliding. Let's see. Penguin Racer. Let's see. No, that was that one. Okay. Next up was Super Tux. Mm-hmm. This one, like almost everybody knows, basically, you know.
If there's one famous Linux game, it's Super Tux.
This is it. And basically, that's probably because it's a Mario ripoff, more or less, anyway. I mean, it doesn't have, like, the turtle shell and whatnot. You know, you've got, like, an ice block
right.
that you could kick and, you know, like a Koopa shell, it bounces around.
It's like Mario with completely different skins.
Basically, yeah. Sadly, that doesn't always make for a great game. You can even throw 2 fireballs, just like Mario could. And while it's kind of fun, it blows my mind that a game that's, like, so well known and, like, been worked on for so long that it's not, like, the perfect game yet.
It's not done.
You know, yeah.
It still, like, even have all the levels done.
Really?
I don't think so.
I think it does. There's 24 levels or something. Yeah, yeah. There's more than that. Not more than. It's not by world, I don't think, is it? It's not 8 worlds, X amount of levels. I don't think so.
Oh.
Maybe you're right, and I just think there's only 24 levels for whatever. Anyway, it's got a level editor. I actually had more fun with this on my PSP because I had a controller interface. I didn't have that here. I had a keyboard where they use up as jump,
which
kind of blows. You can change that. I did change it the first night I was playing it when you weren't here. I had that as a space bar, and it made it a little bit more fun. But, like, there's still weird problems. Like, if you hit a block from underneath and it's got a coin up there, but there's, say, 2 together, it makes a funky sound when it tries to play the 2 coin sounds. It's not like a nice ding ding or whatever. It's like it's weird. It makes a strange noise. Like, fix this shit, you know, and it would be a lot of fun, and people would say, wow, this is a great Linux game. Not, it's barely a passable Mario ripoff. That was a little rough. I'm sorry. But that's just how it is. There was this game called Tux Kart, which basically sucked major ass too. I don't know if they're trying to
It was Mario Kart.
But very bad. Underdeveloped. You hit start, you pick your map out of, like, 5 courses or whatever, and then, like, there's no, like, countdown. Just all of a sudden, boom, everybody's start, driving. Yeah. Racing. And it's all, please wait, this may take a minute or two. And, like, 10 seconds later, all of a sudden you're racing. I don't know. There were some pretty neat toys, though, like items you could get, like things you could pick up. There were some pretty cool ones that I liked, some things that I thought were pretty neat to see. Just needs to be overhauled, I think, and that could be a fantastic game, but it's just not in a good state yet. They had this game on there called PySol, basically, I mean, Python-based solitaire, which was solitaire. You know, I mean, come on. They didn't do it all up like Vista does it, though. Do you see solitaire and shit? Holy fuck. This is why Vista sucks. They spent all their time on Minesweeper, Hearts, Spider Solitaire. Dude, Tom's Hardware, I think, did a review, a 500-hour test on Vista. Out of 50 pages, they did, like, the last, like, 4 or 5 pages on just the games.
On, like, the couple win games
that come. Yeah, on Minesweeper, Solitaire, Hearts, and, like, whatever the fuck else. Yeah, it was... Oh, my God. It's like they put all kinds of effort... Fine, they perfected Solitaire. Let's get an operating system out of these people. Notepad still had that funky problem. Where if you resize the window, save it, it saves the line carriage returns in there, and then you expand it again, and it's got carriage returns in there. Fucking morons. I can't believe they haven't fixed that yet. Or given us an option, don't fuck my text outline when I resize your janky window. You know, give me that option. So, there was this game called Foo Billiards, which was a fat pinball game. Fucking pool. It was really cool.
It looked really good. Like, you zoom in, you could see, like, the little thatching on the felt on the table. And all the balls were, like, polished and like,
shiny
sight.
And shit. Yeah, you could see, like, reflections of, like, a room that wasn't there or something. It was really nice. Really nice. Hella fun. I played that for days by myself. There was, like, tournament modes. I think even network play. How cool is that? Mm-hmm. And you can play the entire thing with a mouse. Like, if you hold the left button, I think you can rotate yourself left and right, and it has a line, like a dotted line, showing you the angle you're going to hit the ball at. The middle click button will actually hit it. If you scroll the middle the mouse wheel, it adjusts your power. And the right, if you hold right and move the mouse up and down, it zooms in and out, which really cool interface. And it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, they even had like accurate sounding sounds when those balls clacked together. They did a good damn job with this game, and I had a lot of fun. I mean, throw a nice little interface and some excitement onto it, maybe, you know, like, the World Series of pool and get some announcer guy or something, you know, like John Madden. How awesome would that be? I think it would be great. There's this game called Cube I hear people talking about, and it looks like the Quake 1 engine with redone graphics, and you run around and blow stuff up. Like, it wants to be like Serious Sam or something with crap graphics but free. But I don't know if it's like because I can't edit the file by hand because it's on a CD or what. But like, I cannot get the mouse to move fast enough. When I have to pick my mouse up and put it on the other side of my desk and scroll it all the way to the other side of the desk to get like a quarter turn out of my dude, there's something wrong with your game. Okay, let me adjust the fucking thing. But there was no option in the options for like mouse sensitivity. So I imagine there's a text file somewhere that you have to edit, some kind of a file that you have to edit somewhere, you know, a configuration. Like, yeah. But we're on a live CD here. The guy could have at least, who put this together, turn that up a couple of 12,000 notches or something. Not quite like my Quake 2 though, where I barely move the mouse and it spins around like 40 gajillion times at like 100 miles an hour.
Sometimes you get crazy with that mouse sensitivity.
So, yeah, a little too high.
Yeah.
Well, it has to be done. Then you go on to games like Enemy Territory. You know, this is an older game around the Quake 3 time. Mm-hmm. A free game put out by like Raven and id Software. This was the one that was going to be the expansion pack that they just decided to release for free, where it's multiplayer only.
For Wolfenstein.
Right, Wolfenstein, Return to Castle Wolfenstein. That's on the CD too, and it actually runs pretty well. I didn't like Return to Castle Wolfenstein multiplayer, so I don't care for it very much. But it, you know, if you like that, that's pretty awesome. It ran well. It had, you know, it was definitely like one of the most polished looking games on here. But it's commercial. Well, its roots are commercial anyway. There was this game called Nexias or something. This was another one that ran at 1024x768. We couldn't see the fucking screen.
That one was a tough one to fix, too.
Yeah. So, but it basically, it's a first-person shooter. Kind of looks like they're using like maybe a Quake 2 engine or something on it. Mm. I don't know. Apparently pretty popular, running around, you know, blowing stuff up. Rocket launchers.
You'll notice a lot of these are first-person shooters.
Right, and this is where you made that mention of it, too. Because the next game that we tried, and that wasn't very much fun, though. It just, they're all so, like, not polished. Like, I'm trying to find really good gaming on Linux here. Is it worth it? Can this be done? And it's like, there's quite a few in here that just drop the ball so hard that it really sets it into your brain. Like this Privateer game. It's like a remake of Privateer the Darkening or some crap. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. We didn't get 10 seconds into that before I couldn't take it. You know? It has Soldier of Fortune on it also, which is a Kobar favorite.
That game was
back in the day. It was pretty cool, blowing off arms and heads and whatnot, but I had control problems with this. It wasn't smooth it didn't feel like it should have. Almost like they didn't want you to strafe when you pressed left. You know, like it just wasn't geared for that almost or something. I went through the controls. I configured them how I like them. And it still wasn't quite as smooth as it should have been. Half of that problem might have been it was a little hiccupy, I think, on the CD. But the disc I was using was hella scratched. Yeah. So that might have just been
the
a victim.
The Soldier of Fortune piece might have been scratched.
Right, right. So that may have been just a casualty of the damage there. But that also ran at 1024x768. Had to go ahead and change the freaking config in that, too, just to play the damn game. And I don't know why. I could not change... Like, you can change the resolution in X, but not higher than 800x600. Mm-hmm. You know? But then, of course, on the opposite token, you load up, say, Doom 3. They have the Doom 3 demo on there. And they have it at lower than that, 640x480, you know? And everything's set to really low quality, which we had to bump up because otherwise shadows were terrible and the game just looked like ass. Mm-hmm. Cranked it all up. The loading times were atrocious loading it off of a DVD, but it was Doom 3 and ran pretty damn good for running off of a CD.
The demo,
right. I mean, it was Doom 3. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, seeing something like this, though, I actually played this on my actual Slackware install, and it ran fucking great, and it looked amazing. So it's like something like that, like, you just think, oh, it can be done. There can be great games that don't run on Windows, you know? So also Quake 4, the Quake 4 demo was on here. Again, the loading times were less on that somehow. And I don't know, it was Quake 4 demo.
Yeah, you know, if Quake 4 and Doom 3 can run just as well and just as beautifully using OpenGL...
Fuck you, Microsoft.
It's not that big of a problem.
Right, but now we're all going to be DirectX 10 bitches, whether we like it or not, says Mr. Gates, which is why we just need to turn to him and just say, fine, I'm down with the Penguin now. Let's go make our games for this. This is what developers have got to do. I didn't write this one down. The Tribes game. Legends.
Yeah.
That, okay, blows my mind. This is online only. It's like a Tribes 2 knockoff, right? It looks a lot like it, just way unpolished, but pretty damn close. Pretty damn close. They did a damn, they were a lot
but
further
no
along.
Skis, right?
I'm pretty sure you can see ski down it. Oh. You like, you just tap it, jump, and you go, or hold it maybe in this one. Because in Tribes 2, you held it, not tapped it, like in Tribes 1. Mm. But, you know, you got a jetpack and a disc launcher. You can change out your armor, I guess. I didn't get that far. I basically floated around and killed a teammate just for fun. but now here's the problem. The day I tried to play this, I hopped online, and there's like over 200 of this BZ flag crap servers up with like a million people. This Legends game, which looks fat, it's free, it's like Tribes 2, which is an awesome game, has 6 servers and 0 players on all of them.
And even today, at prime time on
Yeah, like
Sunday,
probably 6 o'clock in the afternoon, 5:30?
There was, what,
eight people on one of the 6 servers that were up. It was just pathetic, and I just... That breaks your resolve, you know? It's like, oh, God. That sucks.
But the hard part is that you can't play until there's someone else on the other side of the server. So people get bored of waiting.
But they should hook up some bots then.
Yeah.
Like Tribes has bots or some shit, you know? So at least there's something, I guess, I think. I can't remember.
You throw in some bots, start playing, someone
else
comes along.
Maybe they don't have bots. It's been a year since I played that fucking game, but whatever, yeah. UFO Alien Invasion... also runs at 1024 by 768.
That was so bad we never even got that.
Yeah.
Because we could not find
the
setting.
The resolution change thing for it. Yeah, I mean, you just get screwed on some of these because of the way they set it up. But all the good ones, like really, really good ones, seem to work. You know, I mean, these are your Unreal Tournaments, your Quakes, your whatnot, your Dooms. I mean, good ones, not Quake. I mean, Doom. this game called, I didn't write down the whole name, but I just wrote down Westnoth. Westnoth. It's like Save Westnoth or Chronicles of or Legend of.
Something like that.
Search Google for Westnoth, okay? And basically, you described it pretty well as like a civilization and heroes. Kind of like Heroes.
Yeah, the majority of it seemed to be mostly like Heroes. Like you had
Heroes of Might and Magic.
Right, right. And you had a couple dudes, and it was you move them around a map.
You had a castle. You could recruit dudes with money.
Right, all that kind
take
of
take over thing. Towns.
You even had like the bar across the top that was showing
yeah,
you the resources.
Resources.
It seemed very much to be kind of influenced by Heroes.
Right, right.
But then the combat seemed to me to be a little more like Civilization, where you like. Had a dude, and you walked up to somebody, and they just started, like, fighting.
Right, right. And it was based on your numbers versus their numbers, right. You know, and you could get, like, probably armor upgrades and whatnot to, you know, put it more in your favor.
Although it seemed like you might be able to do a little bit of, like, casting of spells and stuff.
Right. Some other weird crap was
like,
in there.
As you got, like, higher up and...
You have effects like slow and poison and whatnot, right. Too. You could heal things somehow in there. I mean, it seemed pretty cool. Like, it could be a lot of fun.
It seemed very, very, like... in depth.
Yeah. Very well put together. I didn't have any problems running it. It did run at the funky resolution, though. Mm. It was another 1024 by 768.
Very old looking.
Yeah.
I don't know how old it is, but...
Me neither. But, okay, the paintings and the graphics were nice.
Yeah.
But, like, the overland map was kind of, like, very flat looking, and I don't know, it just needed a little bit more love. Yeah, it just, I don't know. But it actually looked like to be one of the most promising games I hadn't seen on there. Between that and that Chromium game, I was pretty happy with those games I'd never, like, ever played before. And Never Putt, and I guess the pool game, Foo Billiards, was pretty cool, too. But, you know, like, we had all these other ones on there. Enemy Territory, Quake 4, Doom 3, Soldier of Fortune, America's Army is on there. I won't touch that game with a 10-foot pole, so I didn't check it out, because
be recruited into the army.
I tried to play it on Windows once, and it was terrible. It's so slow-paced, I almost fell asleep. It was bad. I just did not dig that at all.
How long ago? You know, it's changed a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I was on...
constantly working on it.
Probably a year ago. So not too bad.
Right, not too long ago.
Yeah, I mean, like, I remember, like, a big patch came out, like, just after I gave up on it. But it wasn't so much that it, like, changed the game, it was more like another map and whatnot.
I never really played either. I don't really want to be recruited.
No,
recruited to the army.
Stay the fuck away. Yeah, save yourself. Now, also, the UT Unreal Tournament 2004 demo was on there, mm-hmm. Which, you know, being an older game now, and very well coded anyway,
yeah.
Ran fantastic. fucking still just an amazingly fun game. I was actually kind of upset there was no, like, Quake 3 on there or anything. You know, that would have been kind of cool to see, too, because that's a blast for Deathmatch, you know. But Unreal Tournament, the demo was on there. Really a cool disc, though, and you don't have to risk anything. It's not like it changes any of your files for Windows or whatnot.
No, it just boots up. When you turn the computer back off, it goes right back to wherever you used to be.
Yeah, kind of, unless you're on my machine, which was great, because it's been 2 days or so since I've been in Windows, and we get ready to record the show now, and I'm like, okay, well, fuck, we got to use Windows because I have to burn the CDs and use this to do that and fucking encode it with this. Now, there's Linux equivalents for all that. But I'm just not there yet.
Right.
You know, so I'm thinking, okay, we'll just do it on Windows. So, of course, you know, we're bagging on Windows all day. Everything's nice and happy here in Linux land. I fucking reboot. We stand up to go out and have a cigarette or something, and bam, Windows blue screens. Right on fucking boot. Now, this is a fresh install with, like, with all the drivers I had before that were new anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, nothing installed. There's no games. There's, like, nothing. There's Audacity, a firewall, Synergy and Fraps.
The registry is nice and clean. Yeah. Everything's...
This is, like, as pristine as it gets, and it's like, oh, I can't fucking handle the pressure, no! Windows fucking piece of shit! Yeah, it's like, and it's like, I don't even want to be in here anymore. It's that bad, you know? So, anyway, it was kind of interesting, because it was like, after all that, so looking into Sedega, and seeing that they have fucking, like, Warcraft 3 and shit, and even on their most popular list, Heroes of Might and Magic 5.
Wow, even worse.
Well, the war... Eh.
Well, a lot of people play it, though.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully they don't listen to the show, though. So, but you know what I'm saying, though? They have they have support for a lot of games.
They're working on making it even better.
Right, and it's cheap. It's like $5 a month to pay for this, and I think it's worth it. Now, the argument is people don't want to support it, though, because that's okaying Windows development only. I mean, there's something to be said for that. But there's also something to be said for, fucking, I'm not using Windows, and at least I can still play those games.
That's backwards thinking. And
we got 3 minutes.
Okay, I'll make this as quick as possible.
This is your time, not mine. I have all night.
Backwards thinking, and Linux, the big-time Linux heads, are rife with this.
Right.
Don't look at it like you're okaying Windows-only development. You are showing that there is a huge gaming market
exactly,
on Linux.
Exactly.
All these development kids are, look how popular Sedega is.
Exactly.
Oh my god. Maybe we should actually, you know, make our own versions of this.
We had a great discussion about this a couple of days ago, and I forgot all about it now. And it was something we were going to bring up on the show, or at least I planned to. Oh, what the hell were we talking about?
Backwards thinking?
No, something like that, though, yeah.
There's the fact that I think it's silly they all, like, only open source.
That's pretty bad. The point is, they're not using Windows. Our enemy here is not all software developers.
Right.
Our enemy here is in Redmond. You know, and that's the thing. It's weird, you know.
There's nothing wrong with somebody wanting to make a little money.
Exactly.
There's something wrong with whatever the hell Microsoft's doing.
Making a lot of money and a lot of people unhappy. Right, absolutely.
Yeah. If your CEO can take a sports car and crush it into a cube for his coffee table,
yeah,
maybe it's time. Maybe you're overcharging for your product.
Maybe, just a thought.
Maybe, you know.
Wiping your ass with real actual $100 bills, you know. Don't know. But
maybe you could have toned down how much you charge.
It's been bizarre for me for the last 2 weeks, though, because it's strange. I don't know why. Like, cause I didn't think I could be there to use Linux as a desktop operating system, because I've tried before.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, hell, that was 99, 2000, 2001. I think I used it for just a whole year,
mm-hmm,
exclusively. There was no Windows in my house, and then I missed Windows gaming a lot. And then since probably 2001... it's been all about Windows on the gaming box, which, of course, turns into the one that you surf on and check email on all day.
Well, and for a while, you only had the one box, too.
Yeah.
You got rid of the laptop.
I got rid of the laptop, and there was 3 other machines before I moved there. Mm-hmm. I got rid of all of those when I moved. I was down to just this and the laptop, and then I got rid of the laptop. And yeah, the shit, it's probably been a year and a half? It was a while.
Yeah.
It was a while.
And then it wasn't that long ago when you got this.
This other one, yeah. Wow, that's sad. Especially because there hasn't been a Slackware release in that whole time. I used the same disks on the laptop, so yeah, fucking A. Well, no, so it's been a year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I think. Anyway, we gotta get going. But, yeah, don't use Windows.
Yeah.
It's bad for you. You'll get hacked. and cancer.
One, two, three. Hey, Mr. Telecom Man, God save the internet. Don't change my reality. Keep net neutrality. God save the internet. All I want to be is free to choose where I get my music and I get my news, where I hook up with a creep or I buy my shoes. Don't bring me down. It's an old timey tale about a modern mess where some of them folks in our Congress want to send us back to the days of the Pony Express and slow our speed. Just ignore it and drink a beer. Don't believe the hype, don't buy the fear. She's a terrible mother, that Britney Spears. Must we remind you, it's election year.